Once again, I'd like to thank Reverend Stewart for his words. Welcome this evening. It's good once more to be here in the Lord's house. Returning this evening in God's Word to the Old Testament, to the book of the prophet Zechariah. Turning this evening to Zechariah, the chapter 13. The subject this evening is the awakening of Jehovah's sword. The awakening of the sword of Jehovah. We're turning to Zechariah then in the chapter 13. And we'll commence our reading at the opening verse. In that day there shall be a fountain opened in the house of David, and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness. And it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord of hosts, that I will cut off the names of the idols out of the land, and they shall no more be remembered. And also I will cause the prophets and the unclean spirit to pass out of the land. And it shall come to pass that when any shall yet prophesy, then his father and his mother that begat him shall say unto him, Thou shalt not live, for thou speakest lies in the name of the Lord. And his father and his mother that begat him shall thrust him through when he prophesieth. And it shall come to pass in that day that the prophets shall be ashamed, every one of his vision, when he hath prophesied. Neither shall they wear a rough garment to deceive. But he shall say, I am no prophet. I am an husbandman. For man taught me to keep cattle from my youth. And one shall say unto him, What are these wounds in thine hands? Then he shall answer, Those with which I was wounded in the house of my friends. Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, and against the man that is my fellow, saith the Lord of hosts. Smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. And I will turn mine hand upon the little ones. And it shall come to pass that in all the land, saith the Lord, two parts therein shall be cut off and die, but the third shall be left therein. And I will bring the third part through the fire, and will refine them as silver is refined, and will try them as gold is tried. They shall call on my name, and I will hear them. I will say, It is my people. And they shall say, The Lord is my God. Amen. May the Lord be pleased to add his blessing to the public reading of the Lord's own holy, infallible, and inerrant word. Before we consider the Lord's word tonight, let us once again unite our hearts in prayer, and let us pray over the word this evening. Let us pray. O loving eternal God, gracious Heavenly Father, we once again still ourselves in thy holy presence. For Lord, we're conscious that we're in the presence of the thrice holy God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And O Lord, we are before thee, and we are before thy open word. And O Lord, it is thy word. And we're asking tonight, I'm asking, Lord, afresh, that, Lord, thou would grant to me the power of the Holy Spirit of God. For, Lord, I need that power to preach the word. And, Lord, I ask that in preaching the word, I will always preach Christ, speak well of him, his finished work, and his shed blood. Come, Lord. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Stand amongst us this evening. Reveal thyself to us this night. Lord, give us eyes to see thee alone. For I ask these things in the Lord's name, for the honor and the praise and the glory of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In his name I pray. Amen. Our text for this evening is there in Zechariah chapter 13 and the verse 7. Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, and against the man that is my fellow, saith the Lord of hosts, smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered, and I will turn mine hand upon the little ones. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? So the Lord asked the Emmaus disciples as they made their way home, and the Lord Jesus, the stranger, drew near and went with them. They were cast down, and they were sad. And then the Lord spoke to them. And we are told, when they could not respond to the question the Lord put to them, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and entered into his glory? They couldn't answer. And so the Lord responded by beginning at Moses, and all of the prophets he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Luke 24, verses 26 and 27. And in expounding the scriptures, the Lord led those disciples through all the prophets. And in so doing, he brought them to Calvary. He showed them that all of the Old Testament prophets had something to say about the suffering Savior. And the prophet Zacharias was no exception. For when the word of the Lord came to the son of Berechiah, Zechariah, the cross on Golgotha's brow came into view. Even though the events on that hill were 475 years hence, nevertheless, what he saw, what the prophet saw, transfixed his gaze there. For he said, "Then I turned and lifted up mine eyes and looked, and he looked, and he looked again," the prophet. And as he looked, he saw the Savior make his way to the cross. He saw him as king. He saw him as king, lowly and riding upon an ass and upon the colt, the foal of an ass. Chapter 9, verse 9. And what else did thou see, Zechariah? Tell us. Tell us, Zechariah, what else did thou see? I saw that that same king was betrayed and sold for 30 pieces of silver, chapter 11, verse 12. Then Christ our King spoke to the prophet, and he said to him, "They shall look on me." He told Zechariah, "They shall look on me, whom they have pierced." Chapter 12, verse 10, with chapter 13, verse 6. But then, as the prophet looked, he saw that which was dark and foreboding. Yes, he saw the nails. He saw the hammer in the hands of those who wounded Christ, yea, crucified Christ. But then he saw something else. He saw a sword. He saw a sword. No, he didn't see that sword in the hands of man. He saw that sword in the hand of Jehovah. He saw that sword in the hand of the God of heaven. And that sword would be raised. Listen. That sword would be raised against my shepherd, against the man that is my fellow, saith the Lord of hosts. That's Jehovah speaking. That sword shall be raised against my shepherd and the man that is my fellow. Oh, why was such action taken against my shepherd? Why was such action taken against my king? Why was such action taken against my Savior? Why? Surely the sword of Jehovah would only be raised against one who was guilty of committing some great sin, guilty of committing some great crime, the sword of Jehovah. So what great crime? What great crime was the shepherd guilty of? What great crime was my Savior guilty of that the sword of Jehovah was lifted up against him? What was it? Let us, with the Spirit's help, reverently look for the answers to that great question. Why was the sword of Jehovah raised against my shepherd, against my Savior? First of all, let us consider the slumbering sword. What does our text say? Awake, O sword, against my shepherd and against the man that is my fellow, saith the Lord of hosts, smite the shepherd. Smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered, and I will turn mine hand upon the little ones. And so when Jehovah said, awake, that indicates it was a slumbering sword. The sword had to be awakened. You recall when David slew Goliath. David saw Goliath's sword and he said, there is none like it, give it me. But David was only comparing Goliath's sword with the sword of other men. The sword of other men. But Zechariah sees this sword as the sword of Jehovah, and surely there is none like it. There is none like the sword of Jehovah. For, first of all, it is the Almighty's sword. It is the sword of God Almighty. This sword that was raised against the shepherd king belongs to the Lord of hosts. You know something? In the book of Zechariah, the Lord of hosts, that title is found no less than 37 times. As though the prophet was seeking to emphasize the might, the majesty, and the magnificence of the Lord God Jehovah. Even as Jeremiah spoke of him as the great, the mighty God, the Lord of hosts is his name. He who commands all the hosts of heaven, all the forces of glory. No force, no power can stand before him. This is the one who holds that sword that was used, listen, that was used to smite my shepherd, my Savior. Better to have the Lord of hosts with you than against you. Better to have him lift up that sword against our enemies than against us. And you know that's something, all who are in this meeting tonight, who were strangers to grace and to God, all in this meeting tonight who were not saved, do you know something? That sword is hanging above your head right now. And you don't know when that sword will fall upon you. You need to get to Christ. You need to run to Christ tonight. I'm telling you. You have no time to lose. Whatever you do, don't say, I'll leave it to next week or some other time. You need to get to the Lord tonight. That sword is about to fall on you. And there's only one place of shelter, and that is beneath the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to get there quickly. It was that sword that was raised against the shepherd. the sword of the Lord of hosts. What happened? Why was the sword of Jehovah awakened? Why was the sword of Jehovah awakened and turned against the shepherd? Why? What evil hath he done? Some terrible crime must have been committed. Some terrible deed must have been done that would cause the father to awaken his sword. And turn it against his own son. Cause that sword to awake. And then turn it. Yes, against the shepherd. But who's the shepherd? None other than the Son of God. And the Father cried, "Awake and smite my shepherd." In other words, awake, O sword, and smite my son. Smite my son. Surely a crime had been committed. It must have been the crime of all time. Must have been the crime of all human history. For God the Father to take that sword and call upon it to awake against his son. My shepherd. My Savior. Not only is this sword a slumbering sword, it is the sword of the Almighty. It is the Almighty's sword. It is an awful sword. An awful sword. You see, the sword in Scripture is the symbol of judicial power and authority. The court magistrate was one who would wield that sword in judgment. There we read in Romans chapter 13, verse 4. You can read the other verses to get the context, but in Romans 13, verse 4, "For he is the minister of God to thee for good." Listen. "But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. For he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil." Got that? You got that? It's the sword of justice and judgment, and it is wielded against that man who doeth evil. And yet here we read the words of the prophet, that the Lord of hosts called upon his sword to awake against his own son. What evil has he done? What evil has he done? And when God called upon that sword to awake, he was wielding his judicial power. And so the shepherd must have been regarded as guilty of some great crime, some terrible crime, some terrible sin. And yet, We can read through Zechariah. We can read through from Genesis to Revelation. Every word, every chapter, every book. And you'll not find one sin committed by him. Isn't he holy and harmless and undefiled and separate from sinner? No such thing is recorded against God's Son. So what had he done? What had he done to deserve such judgment? Why was such judicial power exercised against God's Son? Against the Lord Jesus, my shepherd and my Savior. Another prophet gives us the answer. Isaiah 53, we're all familiar with these words. Isaiah 53. Verses 5 and 6. But he, Christ, was wounded. What for? For our transgressions. He was bruised. What for? For our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. Listen, listen. And the Lord had laid on him the iniquity of us all. That's it. The Lord has laid on him, laid on Christ, laid on his own Son, the iniquity of us all. Laid on Christ. Why was he wounded by that sword of Jehovah? Because of our transgressions. Why was he bruised by that sword of Jehovah? Because of all our iniquities. Why was that sword awakened at all? Why was it taken from its sheath? Here's the answer. Because the Lord had laid on him the iniquity of us all. All. The iniquity of us all. Remember, this was a judicial sword that must respond and be raised against the guilty. And when the Lord laid upon him the iniquity of us all, thus, listen, thus, with the iniquity of all his elect laid upon him before the judge of all the world, Christ was declared guilty, guilty, guilty. And the Lord of hosts then cried out, "Awake, O sword, against my shepherd and against the man that is my fellow, saith the Lord of hosts. Smite the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered." Boy, is not something to take in. As I said, you can read through all Scripture and not find anything written down regarding sin and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet here we find the Lord laid on him the spotless, sinless, perfect, pure, holy Lamb of God. And because all of our sins were laid on him, he was declared guilty by the judge. and must be punished. And so the judge cried out, "Awake, O sword, against my shepherd and against the man that is my fellow." I've said it over and over again this week. When you look at these things and meditate upon them and think about what the Lord Jesus did for us and went through for us, don't you just want to fall down at his feet and lay hold of those feet and fall down and say, "My Jesus, I love thee. I love thee. I love thee. For all that thou didst do for me, for taking my place, a guilty, hell-deserving sinner, and instead thou was guilty in my place. And the sword of Jehovah was raised against thee, not me." Not me. For the sheep deserved the sword. The sword of judgment, the sword of wrath, the sword of vengeance, the sword of justice. But the shepherd, our shepherd, praise his wonderful holy name, our shepherd took the place of the sheep. Hallelujah. He took the place of the sheep. The sheep deserved the sword. You and I deserve the sword. But our wonderful, loving shepherd instead bears his bosom "Let the sword fall on me." Let that sword pierce my bosom. Let Jehovah's sword smite me, not my sheep. For when the dear Savior appeared with all the sins of his elect upon him, the Lord of hosts cried out, "Awake, O sword, against my shepherd. Awake, O sword of justice. Awake, O sword of judgment. Awake, O sword of righteousness. Awake, awake, and smite the shepherd." Smite him. Smite him. Smite the shepherd. And it was the almighty sword that smote the shepherd. It was an awful sword that smote the shepherd. It was the awakened sword that smote the shepherd. This is the last mention of the sword in the Old Testament. And now it has awakened. First mention of the sword is back in Genesis 3 and verse 24. There it was unsheathed for the first time, raised against Adam to keep the way of the tree of life. Now, Zechariah tells us when that sword was awakened again, this time against the one who is the second shepherd, or the second Adam. It was the sin of Adam that awakened Jehovah's sword. It was the sin of Adam that awakened the sword of Jehovah back in Genesis. It was our sin that awakened the sword of Jehovah. But not against us, but against the shepherd, against God's Son, against the dear Savior. It was that sword that kept Adam from the tree of life. But praise the Lord. through that sword, and because of the sword of Jehovah, the way for us has been opened to the tree of life. Now what we have? Life. Life. Eternal life. Jesus alone is the giver. Do you have eternal life? Be honest. Do you know the Lord tonight? Remember that sword. It's above your head. That sword of justice, that sword of judgment, it's above your head. It could fall tonight. Could. Why not come this evening to the Lord Jesus upon whom that sword has fallen? And then that sword will be turned away from you. As well as it being a slumbering sword. We say also the smitten shepherd. We have before us, in the words of our text, a great and wonderful mystery. Remember, it is the Lord of hosts who bid the slumbering sword to awake. But against who? Against who? Look carefully. Against my shepherd and against the man that is my fellow. And what we have here is, we might call, a dual wonder. The one whom the sword of Jehovah was raised against is described in two ways. Same person, not two different people. Yeah, the shepherd, and against the man that is my fellow. Not two different people. For Zacharias speaks of one person with a dual nature. You look at the words, he's spoken of as the man, and against the shepherd, and against the man who is my fellow. That can only mean one person. That can only mean one person. It can only mean the God-man. Two distinct natures in one person, God forever. That's who he is. My shepherd, and against the man that is my fellow. The word fellow means nearest of kin. Well, that's Christ all right, isn't it? The Father is speaking, Jehovah is speaking, and he refers to the shepherd as my nearest of kin. The nearest of kin. The word can also mean the man who is my equal. The man, my equal. Remember the words of Paul, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Equal with God, being found in the fashion as a man. The only man, hear it, the only man who is equal with God is the Lord Jesus Christ. Because he is God. He is God. Listen to this. The man that is my fellow. Fellow. That word fellow belongs exclusively to Christ. Because the word, as it is here, is not found anywhere else in Scripture. belongs exclusively to the Lord Jesus. And it was against the God-man, against God's fellow, God's equal, God's dear son that this sword was raised. My nearest of kin. Boy, that brings it home, doesn't it? My nearest of kin. My nearest of kin. Don't we read there in Proverbs 8 that the Lord Jesus lay in the very bosom of the Father? My nearest of kin, his son, lay in the bosom of his dear Father. And yet the cry went up. Awake, O sword, smite the shepherd. Awake, O sword, smite the king. Awake, O sword, smite my son. Get a hold of it. Believer, get it into your heart. It all happened because the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. Because the Lord laid on his own son your sins, my sins, they were laid on the Lord Jesus. The blessed Lord Jesus. And the Father said, awake, O sword, against my shepherd, against the man that is my fellow, and smite him. Oh, how could the Father raise the sword of justice and judgment against his own dear son? Well, of course, we've already learned. Isaiah has given us the answer. The Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. Think about that. Meditate upon that. Those iniquities caused the sword of Jehovah to be awakened. It pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. See, believer, do you see? Do you see tonight afresh the trouble, the suffering, the shame our sin has caused? God's dear son. It caused the smiting of Christ, the suffering of Christ, the bruising of Christ. The abandonment of Christ. That's right. Your sin and mine. Oh, what a wonder that the one who is the Father's fellow, the one who is the Father's equal, should give himself so willingly. As we've said, opened his bosom and said, basically said, Father, let the sword pierce me. Let that sword smite me. And there at Calvary, that sword did that very work. The Son, our Savior, was smitten by Jehovah's sword. As well as the dual wonder, we have the dreaded word. The dreaded word. That word came from the Lord of hosts when he said, awake, O sword, against my shepherd. Believer, Maybe we don't think about it often enough. Maybe we don't meditate on it enough. Maybe not. Do we think about how terrible sin must be in the eyes of a holy God? That our sins were laid on His own Son, and God took the Son, took the sword, and smote His own Son because of our sins. Because of our sins. In his commentary, in the book of Zechariah, T.V. Moore makes a powerful point when dealing with these words. This is what he said. There is, in the whole of human knowledge, nothing more awfully sublime than this seemingly schism in the Godhead. It is as if sin was so dreadful and evil that the assumption of its guilt by a sinless mediator must be for a time make a division even in the absolute authority or unity of the Godhead. The Godhead itself. It is the most awful illustration of the repulsive and separating power of sin that the history of the universe affords. Boy, that's right. Boy, is that not right? It makes a division, it seems to make it a division, even in the absolute unity of the Godhead itself. It is the most awful illustration of the repulsive separating power of sin. Christ experienced it. The Lord Jesus experienced it. And so this our shepherd was prepared to be made sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him, prepared to be made sin. Pointed out last night. That doesn't mean he was made a sinner. It's more than that. He was made sin. He was made sin. And because he was made sin, God had to judge sin. Must be judged sin. And he did. Awake, O sword, against my shepherd. Awake, O sword, against the man that is my fellow. Awake, O sword, against the one who is my son. Against the one who is daily my delight. No wonder. No wonder the Lord Jesus prayed, if it be possible. If it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. But it's no wonder the dear Savior prayed, if it be possible. If it be possible. Of course, we know all things are possible with God. But that was one thing that was not possible. If you and I were to be saved, that was not possible. Christ had to drink that cup, all of it. And that sword had to fall upon him. No holding back. That sword had to fall on Christ. again. Just makes you want to fall down before him. We have there a dual wonder, the shepherd, the man that is his fellow. We have the dreadful word, awake, O sword. Then we have the deepest wound. When the Lord of hosts called for his sword to awake, he cried out, smite the shepherd. The sword would not be awakened, as it were, to frighten the shepherd. No, to smite the shepherd. The sword would not be awakened to warn the shepherd. No, to smite the shepherd. The sword would not be awakened to even defend the shepherd. Think of that. Think of that. Think of that, believer. We read last night what the soldiers did to Christ. Spat upon him, took a rod and beat him over the head and beat him again and again and again. Stripped him. Mocked him. Put a crown of thorns on his head. No. No, the sword didn't awake to defend the Savior against such behavior and against such treatment. No. Sword wasn't used to defend Christ. The sword awoke to smite Christ. All because of our sin. Get a hold of that. Don't let that get away from your mind, from your heart. And when the sword of Jehovah awoke and fell upon the shepherd, so deep was the wound. So deep was the wound, it went all the way to his heart. All the way. There was no holding back. There was no sparing of the sword. But listen, with all the might and all the power of Almighty God, that sword fell upon and pierced the shepherd. Not because of anything he did. All because of what we did. And all because our sins were laid on him, and our sins must be judged. And they were judged in the person of Christ. He spared not his own son. Instead, he smote his own son. Spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. Who can understand this? Who can comprehend such a thing? And when the sword of Jehovah had completed its task, the shepherd gave up the ghost, and Jehovah's sword was sheathed again. The work was done. I know this week I've often quoted the words of Anne Ross Cousins. I don't mind doing so again tonight in relation to the sword. For she wrote, Jehovah bade his sword awake. O Christ, it woke against thee. Thy blood the flaming sword must slack. Thy heart its sheath must be. All for my sake, my peace to make, now sleeps that sword for me. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And all who were trusting in Christ We can rejoice. All who are trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ, we can sleep easy tonight. Because the sword of Jehovah, as far as we are concerned, is asleep again. It's a slumbering sword again. It'll never be called upon to awake against us, all because of Christ. Never. We can sleep easy tonight, because God's sword of justice and judgment has been sheathed again. The only person needs to be concerned tonight is those here tonight who are sinners. That sword is awaiting to fall upon you. You need to get to Christ. You need to hurry. You need to hurry. You should even now, where you are in this church, bow your head and say, Lord, save me. Save me from the sword. Wash me in the blood. Do it now. Ere the sword falls upon you, ere you leave the meeting tonight. The slumbering sword, the smitten shepherd, that comes as leads us finally to the scattered sheep. The Lord told the prophet, look at our text again. Awake, O sword, against my shepherd and against the man that is my fellow, saith the Lord of hosts. Smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. The sheep shall be scattered. As he made his way to Gethsemane, you remember, the Lord made his disciples aware of that. Reminded them of what the Zechariah the prophet had said, Matthew 26:31, all ye shall be offended because of me this night, for it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. Now here's something. In light of all that we have said this evening, the prophet said it, the Lord Jesus reminded the disciples. The Lord Jesus said, when I smite the shepherd, the sheep of the flock shall be scattered. You shall be offended. Imagine that. You shall be offended because of me. That word offended, listen, that word offended is the Greek word scandalizo. It's where we get our English word scandal from. Now you look at what the Lord said. Ye, all of ye, shall be scandalized because of me. You'll regard it as being a scandal to be associated with me. Can you believe that, believer? So when they came to take the shepherd away to that place called Calvary, nobody wanted to be associated with him. They viewed upon it as a scandal to have anything to do with the dear Savior. So you remember the words of Peter. What did Peter say? I know not the man. I know not the man. It was a scandal. How did the dear Savior feel about that? We see here the loneliness of the shepherd. He had never left his sheep alone, nor did he ever forsake them. He is now left alone and forsaken. The dear Savior never thought it a scandal to be associated with us, did he? He would have every right to have been scandalized when you think of how we lived. But no, he didn't think it a scandal. But the disciples did. To be associated with him, not only them, but all of his friends. And they left him alone. John 16, verse 32, "Behold, the hour cometh, yea, and now is come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone." We've emphasized that a few times in these meetings. But I think I've every right to do so, because here you can see Christ being left alone was very much on his heart. You leave me alone. You will leave me alone. Because everyone regarded it as being a scandal to be associated with him. I know not the man. So here is another wound inflicted upon him when his closest friends were scattered. And he left the Savior alone. He was in the Garden of Gethsemane and he prayed alone. He stood before Annas alone. He was alone before Caiaphas. He was alone before Herod. He was alone before Pilate. None of the sheep found their way to his side. No, it was a scandal. He was alone when the soldiers surrounded him. He was alone when they scourged him, when they beat him, when they buffeted him. He was alone when they stripped him. He was alone when they blindfolded him and spat upon him. He was alone when he climbed Golgotha's hill. And there he must tread the winepress alone. And there on the cross he was alone, so very, very much alone. Alone. My God. My God, why hast thou abandoned me? Think of that. The Father abandoned the Son. We told you the meaning of the word forsaken. It means for abandoned. The Father abandoned the Son. Because he was bearing your sin and mine. He was abandoned. Because all our sins were laid on him, Christ was left alone. Surely, believer will never be ashamed of Christ. Can you really sing from the heart, "I'm not ashamed, O my Lord"? Or to defend his cause, maintain the honor of his word, the glory of his cross. Be a shame on us if we were ashamed of him, wouldn't it? The loneliness of the shepherd, the love of the shepherd, the love of the shepherd. You recall when they came to arrest the Lord Jesus, we read in John 18 and verse 8, the Lord said, "If you seek me, let these go their way. Don't touch them." Ah, he's a good shepherd, isn't he? If you seek me, let these go their way. And even, listen, even though those disciples thought it a scandal to be associated with the Lord Jesus, the Lord still loved them. Look there in John 19. In John 19, verse 25. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary and the wife of Cleophas and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple standing by whom he loved. But that was after he left the Lord. That was after he thought it would be a scandal to be associated with him. But what did he read? The disciple whom he loved. Hallelujah. He still loved him. He still loved him. John, the Lord still loved you. Even though you didn't want to be associated with him, you thought it would be a scandal. You remember John 21. You remember whenever Peter and six other disciples thought their ministry was finished, Peter says, I go a-fishing. And the others said, will you go also with thee? And they fished all night and caught nothing. And in the morning, a stranger appeared on the shore. We know who the stranger was. Christ. Do you remember how he addressed them? Children, have ye any meat? After all they had done, and how they counted a scandal to be associated with him, as we have seen, he still loved John and he loved the rest, and they were still his children. Maybe there's somebody here tonight. You've been away from God for some time. You're cold in the heart. You don't bother praying anymore. You don't hardly read your Bible anymore. I want to tell you tonight afresh, the Lord still loves you. The Lord still loved John. Even though he regarded it as a scandal to be associated with him. And all the other disciples, he addressed them as children. You're still a child of God, you know that. Well, listen, why not get back into fellowship with the Lord tonight? In the light of what God's word has taught us this evening, can you honestly, with a clear conscience, go out of this meeting tonight the way you came in? Cold in heart, backslidden, away from God, living for the world instead of Christ. Can you do that? Can you really do that? Well, listen again to these words. Awake, O sword, against my shepherd and against the man that is my fellow, saith the Lord of hosts. Smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. Time for the sheep to come home to the sheepfold tonight. What about it? What about it? There's forgiveness, you know. There's pardon. He still loves you. He still loves you. Bless his name. Let's bow in prayer. Oh, our dear Lord, we still ourselves before thee again. We thank thee, Lord, for showing us through thy word how much thou hast loved us, how thou didst bear thy bosom to the sword of Jehovah, how thou wast willing to bear so much for each one of us who did not deserve a second look from thee. Lord, I want to tell you tonight, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank thee, Lord, for making me whole. Thank thee, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation, so rich and so free. Lord, I pray that some backslider will fall in love with their Savior tonight. The prodigal will come home tonight. Some sinner will be found at the cross tonight, ere the sword of justice and judgment falls upon them. Answer prayer. Lord, be with us as we leave the house of God tonight. Grant us all traveling mercy. Keep us well and healthy and safe. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide and remain with us now until the day breaks and the shadows all flee away. Amen. Amen.